The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi, you're listening to my favorite Elliott Smith song. In this podcast, we try, in our own very small way, to keep Elliott Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favorite song of his. So hi, and thank you for joining us for episode 10 of our fifth season. Our guest today is Elise Okosamie. Elise is a New York City-based guitarist and vocalist who performs under the name Oceanator. As Oceanator, Elise has released three albums so far, including, most recently, Nothing's Ever Fine, which came out earlier on this year. Elise has covered a couple of Elliott Smith songs as well during her career, one of which is The Biggest Lie, which we're discussing today in this episode. As you might be able to guess from that, Elise is a big Elliott Smith fan. In fact, she's such a big fan that she even wrote a college thesis on him. It was really lovely talking to Elise for this episode, so I very much hope you enjoy listening to it. So here's Elise Okosamie of Oceanator.
Hello, I'm Elise from Oceanator. I picked The Biggest Lie off the self-titled record.
I'm waiting for the train, subway that only goes one way. The stupid thing will come to pull us apart, make embody me.
It's one of the earlier ones of his that I heard, and so like it stuck for that reason. Then also I just think it's like, it's a pretty simple song, but it's just so beautiful and just like perfect.
What elements do you really like find the beauty in?
I usually focus more on music stuff, so I really like the guitar part a lot, and the way that it goes along with the vocal melody. And then I also just really love the line, like, "Oh, we're so very precious, you and I." Really sticks out for me.
When you hear that line, what do you like take it to mean? Do you take it to mean anything?
I guess it depends on my mood, you know? A lot of time I just kind of think about how it's, you know, just like, I guess kind of at face value that like me and you are just precious entities, you know, just like being here is precious and existing is like just this really like special thing. The meaning of it has kind of changed over the years. Like I first heard it, like after it had come out, I first heard it in like the early 2000s, I think. And at first I was just like, oh, this is just a nice song. I like it. And then like a couple years later, I was like, this is one of the best songs I ever heard. I don't want to never hear this song again. It's so important to me to be able to hear it. And now it's just kind of like this song that I can like go back to for like a little bit of grounding, I guess. But I never get tired of hearing it. So like, it's very familiar, but it feels very safe, I guess. And like a little check-in home spot.
So, yeah. Do you think it's a breakup song?
Yeah, I think, you know, but also like, it seems bigger than that, I guess. So like I'm not really thinking of it. Like it's definitely got some lines that make it feel very breakup songy. But I guess I kind of feel like it's like when I, for me, the way that I experience it feels more somehow like universal than just like a breakup, if that makes sense at all.
Yeah.
Just kind of feels like it feels like a, like an, like an ending, but not necessarily just like, oh, this relationship's over or whatever. I don't know. Just feels more encompassing. Just a very vague, feels bigger statement. Yeah. It's not very helpful, but
you spent everything you had. Wanted everything to stop that bad. Now I'm a crushed credit card and registered to Smith. Not the name that you call me with.
I was listening earlier today, actually, to your cover of The Biggest Lie. And I feel like, you know, you kind of added to the song, and there's a, you know, there's a heavier sort of like guitar element to it. What were your kind of your thoughts when you were sitting down and you're trying to work out how to cover it?
Yeah, I originally was just gonna do it like acoustic, like the way he had it, and then I thought it might be fun to do to like think about it more, like how he would sometimes do some of those acoustic songs live, you know, like when he would do like Christian Brothers or, of course I'm forgetting the other ones, but the acoustic ones like live, and they would be bigger, you know, and they would just sound kind of like a little heavier and like fuller. So I just kind of tried to think about how maybe he might've done that if he played it live with a full band and then record that.
No, I think it's great. It sounds amazing, and you know, sometimes when you hear a cover, it's just someone just doing the Elliott Smith version, but it feels like you kind of put your own mark on it as well.
Yeah, I wanted to make it sound a little more like me, just for fun. And yeah, my brother helped me out with it, and he did the bass and the keys. He's also like a big fan also. So it was fun to get to work on that together.
In the song The Biggest Lie, do you have any sort of theories on what the biggest lie actually is? Is it anything?
I feel like when he wrote it, it probably was something, but I don't think that it needs to be something. I think it could be, and I don't even think it, I think it could be like something simple, like saying something nice to someone that just to be polite, or it could be like, you know, being like, oh yeah, I'm fine, I'm doing great, this situation is fine with me, when it's like not, you know, like now you're gonna go home and write this whole song about how it's not fine. So I think mostly, usually I lean towards the latter, but you know, it kind of morphs again, like depending on what's going on in my head. But yeah, I'm sure he had an idea for it, but I think that's what's fun about songs, is you know, they could mean anything to who's listening to them.
Yes, yeah, definitely. And you mentioned earlier on in the interview, you know, when you first heard the song, can you set the scene for us? You know, where were you? Where were you living? Where are you in the world? What else were you listening to? How old were you? What was going on in your life at that point?
Yeah, I was like 19 or something. I was a freshman in college, and I was listening to a lot of Green Day, and you know, because I did that for a very long time. And then like a bunch of bands that I had played with in high school. There were like, I went to high school in DC, and there were a ton of really cool bands that we would play with all the time. So I had like all their CDs burned, and just a bunch of like punk stuff mostly. And my roommate at the time, we had the boombox that in between our two beds, and she had a Burn CD of the self-titled record, so she would put it on all the time. So I don't remember a specific instance of hearing that song first, but I remember just like she would put that CD on, I'd be like, oh, it's that thing I like again. And I finally was like, who is this? And then like, yeah, just kind of got obsessed from there. So it's all her fault.
You have written assuming you were at that college, when you wrote a thesis on Elliott Smith?
Yeah. So for my senior music seminar, we had to pick a composer to write a paper on and give a 50-minute presentation in class about, which was horrifying because that's a long time to talk. I'm really bad at presenting in class. And I had originally picked Tchaikovsky because I like Tchaikovsky, and I thought that made sense for a class. And I had a meeting with my professor, and he was like, well, who would you pick if you like, you don't sound that excited about Tchaikovsky. And I was like, well, I really like Elliott Smith. He was like, perfect, do that. So it was cool. I got to just like, my brothers had like a ton of like live recordings and a bunch of B-sides of stuff that like has since been released, but like wasn't, I don't know where he found it. And so he sent me all those, and I just like got to spend all my time like, cause like that newer documentary wasn't out yet, and one of the books, I think a book came out since then also that wasn't out yet, so I got to just spend a lot of time on the internet like looking for old interviews and just like copying, like taking notes on the stuff that like would be important for the paper, just listening to it constantly, like because it was partially like a biography thing and partially like talking about theory and harmony and stuff. So I had to spend a lot of time listening. I got to like look for all these live videos, and I just got to spend, it was like the most fun I've had researching a paper for sure ever.
It sounds
good. Also writing, yeah, I was writing my history thesis at the same time, and that wasn't as fun. So I spent a lot more time on this one until I turned it in, and I was like, oh no, I have a lot to do. Cause if this one was a first semester thing. But yeah, it was cool. It ended up being like 30 pages.
Wow.
I don't know if I still have it anywhere. It might have died like on an old computer or something, but hopefully there's a printout somewhere.
Do you have like a from your research, like a favorite Elliott Smith YouTube video that when you were doing your research, you're like, wow, this is it. This is the one.
There were two that I was really into then. One was the live video of I Can't Answer You Anymore. If you know that song, because I that was the first time I heard that song also. So I got like really obsessed with it and just kept watching that video over and over. And then the other one I really liked was, I think it was in Portland. And he's playing solo, and it's like a little bit later, and like his sister's there. He says hi to his sister in the middle of a song. It's very cute. But it's like professionally recorded and stuff. So it's like, it sounds good and it looks good. It's just a really fun and like good performance. I like that one a lot.
You turn white like a saint. I'm tired of dancing on a pot of gold flame.
You know, we mentioned The Biggest Lie that you've covered. You've also covered Wouldn't Mama Be Proud for another compilation album.
Yes.
Why that song? Is that another favorite of yours?
Yeah, that's definitely another favorite. I also just like, I find that one so fun to play, especially like it's one of my, when I sit down to play drums, it's on my like drums playlist that I like to like play through. So part of the reason I chose that is just I have such a good time like just playing along to that one. But yeah, it's such a good song. It just rocks.
yeah. Do you think that's an Elliott Smith song that kind of matches more with your personal style as Oceanator?
Yeah, I guess so. Just because like I mean some of the earlier Oceanator stuff is a little more acoustic-y, but I've been doing a ton of like just full band kind of like rock song. So I guess we used like Coast to Coast and King's Crossing as like sound reference for the new record and stuff. Like there's a song on the new record that I was talking to my brother who helped produce as well as Barty's. And I was like, I really like this bass sound in King's Crossing, this like synth bass. Can we get something like that? And he was just like, oh yeah, it's that thing. And like pointed to this keyboard that he had tucked behind a chair in the corner that I didn't even know was there. He was like, this is the same keyboard. And he like set it up.
Wow.
So we like got that sound. So yeah, I guess I would say the later stuff is more influenced sound wise, but like song structure and writing wise, I think it's all kind of in there. You know, I've spent so much time with it that I can't really not have him influence the way I write.
Mm. What's the King's Crossing influence song, by the way, so we can link to it so people can check it out.
Oh, it's the last song on the record, Evening.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. We'll put a link to it so people can have a listen. Cool.
Okay, cool. Hell yeah. Yeah, that one and then the two instrumental tracks on it also, like Coast to Coast. I just like how there's like the double drums on that song. So those two songs that's how they influence the record sound wise.
Do you think how you sort of listen to Elliott Smith and how you appreciate his music has changed as you've got older and, you know, you've become an established artist?
Yeah, I think like I definitely pay more attention to that sound sort of stuff and pick it out more individually the more I listen, as opposed to like when I first started listening, it was mostly like, I love this, the way this all goes together, you know, this is a good song. And now I'm like, what's this noise? How did he do this? Like, oh, that's a cool little like 1-2-3 like chord progression or whatever, you know, like go learn that chord. And then, you know, it comes up sometime in a song later because I'm like, you know, it's that chord would sound good here. So yeah, I guess the more I've listened, the more I just kind of like dig in on those details. But luckily, I think luckily I can still, I it's like not every time I listen to it that I'm like picking it apart. I can still like appreciate the song just as a whole, as a song when I listen to it. And it's nice to like not have gotten tired of something after like, you know, I don't know, years and years of yeah. listening. Yeah.
And lastly, like, think Elliott Smith will stay with you as you go further?
Oh yeah, I think so. I mean, he's made it this far, so yeah, I think, you know, he's just his songs, and there's just something I always can come back to and still just feel like, I mean, I know that they're sad songs and everyone's like, oh, I can't listen to that, it's too sad or whatever, which, you know, I get, but I don't know, it doesn't make me feel sad to listen to them. If I'm sad, it feels good to listen to them because I feel like, you know, I'm not alone in my sadness. And if I'm not sad, I like listening to them because they're just like beautiful songs. So like kind of feels like it kind of makes me happy to listen to them even when the songs are sad, because they're just like, they're just so beautiful and it's just kind of a joy to experience yeah. them. So yeah, I think, yes, short answer, I think he'll stick around for me.
Oh, we're so very precious, you and I, and everything that you do makes me wanna die. Oh, I just told the biggest lie. I just told the biggest lie. The biggest lie.
So thank you very much to Elise for being our guest on the podcast. If you want to take a look into some of the things she mentioned, including that Elliott live show, then you can find links in the episode notes. That's pretty much it from me today. But before I go, I just wanted to mention that we're going to take a slightly longer break between episodes than usual. And we'll be back again with our next installment at the end of November, when our guest will be the musician Julia Shapiro. In the meantime, please do stay in touch. You can reach us on info@myfavoriteelliotsmithsong.com or by DMing us on Twitter and Instagram. All that's left then is our cover for this episode, which comes from Sofa City Sweetheart, who's playing Clementine. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you again soon.
See people keeping Elliot's music alive. I'm going to play this song that you probably all know. I'm going to try my best. The bar, street switch can tell by the sound of the cars. The bartender singing Clementine while he's turning around the open sign. Dreadful sorry.
My Favourite Elliot Smith Song is produced by Rob Comber and Elizabeth Woodstanley. You can find out more about the show at myfavoriteelliotsmithsong.com.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.